Guys, I went live the other day and I said I'm not making content, but today I have Knives Monroe in the studio to talk and chat and catch up and talk about, you know, being in this content creator economy, whatever the acronym is today, business, and just kind of wrap up the year and talk about all the trials and tribulations that we've been through in the business. And, you know, I told you that I was thinking about the 10 commandments of videographer, and I told you about thou shalt not forget to check the exposure, the aperture, and the shutter speed before recording. I have done that. And I believe this is fully polished. This is high quality. This podcast will come out great, as opposed to the last one where you were a little bit overexposed. So
who cares?
You know,
I'm looking up. I have 10 commandments too.
Go ahead.
For creativity.
Let's do it.
But this is not for videography. It's just for creativity.
Give it to me.
Experience number one. Experience is education.
Okay.
Number two, failure is success. Number three, good artists copy, great artists steal. Number four, give credit, take blame. Number five, stay inspired, stay informed. Six, get out of your comfort zone. Seven, meditate. Eight, take action. Nine, give more than you take. And 10, patience. Those are not really commandments, but I remember I wrote that down like during the pandemic. I think I made a TikTok about it too, so... Yeah, we were thinking the same thoughts. Great minds think alike.
Well, I was trying to be jokey.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, man, I have a prospect lined up for Friday for podcast producing. And I haven't helped anybody create anything for a few months now. And I got a message on Fiverr. And I think one of the things is I'm super selective on what I want to do now. Mm-hmm. Like, I do want to do podcast producing. I want to create these shows. I have experience doing it. But as I was getting started, and maybe people who are listening to this that are just getting started, I maybe tried to do everything and kind of fell short. Like, I mean, the reason why that one about exposure – aperture and shutter speed comes up is because, like, there have been instances where we work together where I don't know what the fuck's going on with the camera. You know, I'm just like, I just bought this camera. I don't know how this camera works, but we need to make a video that's going to be, you know, posted online. So, you know, I've got to expect it to be like turn on video and start going. And I think most people who are just getting started think that.
Yeah, I agree. I was just having this conversation with my wife the other day. About double tapping. Have you ever done that?
Double tapping.
Yeah. So you press record only to realize just started recording, but I double tapped it. So it stopped.
So stop recording.
I remember I missed a wedding, the bride's father's speech. I recorded it. And as soon as it was done, I pressed cut. And I was like, it just started recording. And I was like, oh, shit. It's a terrible feeling, man. Like, it's happened more often than I care to admit. But that should be a commandment, too.
Thou shalt remember to press record.
Yes.
Thou shalt not press record twice.
Yes.
Is the second.
Yeah, it's the second commandment.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It happens.
You know, it gets trickier. That's the beginning part. The more tricky part is, like, the second commandment I was thinking is, thou shalt not forget thy batteries and thy memory cards.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I have a checklist, and I put that on there.
Yeah, that's, like, number one, right?
It's up there for sure. Tripods, the little caps that go on the tripod that connect to the camera. You don't want to take your tripod. I forget what it's called, but like it's like a, you know, they.
Oh, the quick release?
Yeah, the quick release. Not taking that.
Yeah.
You're fucked.
The screws for the quick release?
Yeah, man. Or like extra memory cards.
Yeah,
dude. It's real.
I don't know.
Formatting the cards, dumping the footage, storing in the cloud. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, that's the part. Yeah, then it goes into storing in the cloud. Yeah. That one bothers me. You know, I don't tend to do things that are outdoors the third one for me was Thou Shalt Not Forget Thy ND filters. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I have like a, a director's monitor and like the Ninja, and you, and you might need to bring that sunshade, even though you want to throw it away all the time.
You know, it's bulky and it's hard to take with you, but you might want to take it.
Yeah. Where is it? You know, that's thou shalt have organized equipment, you know,
for real,
but that's never going to happen. That's like, that's the sin I think most of us have, is staying like being orderly about the equipment stuff.
Yeah.
It took a good 2 to 3 hours to rearrange it, the studio, to get to where
I love it.
And make, this setup's the same, similar setup that we did before. I think the thing that's different is the clouds are up now. Mm-hmm. The TV's now here. Two TVs, one to react to and actually look into the camera.
Yeah.
And whatnot. It's so cool. We'll try that out. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. I think it's overkill.
Maybe.
Not in a bad way, but just like, you don't need this to get started.
No, you definitely don't need this to get started, because, I mean, like, when I got started, I would say I had similar things, like an iPad. You know, you have to have something to look at.
Yeah.
Something to monitor off of, chat, or that's it, more specifically live streaming, because that's where
chat,
I come
are
from.
Are we live?
No, I didn't go live again.
Oh, thank God. Just kidding.
No, I was thinking about it, though, because it would be sort of a behind-the-scenes aspect, because I don't want to do all the switching, but I am recording all the cameras so that, you know, in post to stitch it up and
sure.
Riverside and all that jazz. And
I just stopped paying for Riverside.
Why did you do that?
It's like $300 a year, and I was like, nah.
Are you going to go month to month? If you get a client or something
I don't know if I told you this. It's part of the reason why I'm here is I don't do them. I'm not going to do them via Zoom anymore. I won't. Mm. And if a client wants it, they can pay for it.
That's why. That's where I'm at. Well, yeah. I'm not opposed to doing them. Because people can start to emotionally like disassociate with people and treat people badly. And that was one of the big reasons why I like, kind of took my break, is because like I just got surrounded by people who just, they can disassociate. You know, they live somewhere else, or they don't care. I felt like it's more cutthroat. Like in here, you know, face to face, people are douchebags and stuff, like and dicks and people, bitches and all that shit. But you know, but it's so much easier to send a shitty email, get on a shitty Zoom, and just be shitty to somebody.
Yeah, I've never been shitty to someone via Zoom. It's just, I don't think people want to watch that final product. It's really what it comes down to. And me personally, I don't get the juice. The juice for me is this, in person, IRL. When you asked me earlier today, hey, do you want a pod? I was like, I'll do it in person, but I'm not going to fucking do it via Zoom. Sit down with my lights in my face and... fuck all that. Like, I'd rather just come here and do it in person, IRL.
Yeah.
It's more valuable.
True. It's more expensive.
3 years from now, someone can watch this, and it is more expensive. But you save time, too, you know, I think.
It's not so bad because you live across town, but I hear these people flying to podcasters and stuff like that. And, like, for somebody who's, like, a nobody like me, like, I'm not getting anybody to fly out yet.
I know. Zoom is, and Riverside is kind of a necessary evil, but, you know, I'm out. I did my time with that. You know, in 2020, pre-pan, I was doing podcasts every day, daily pod. Mm-hmm. And I did it all the way to, like, the collapse, you know, when the shutdowns happened. And then everybody, especially in our group, like, was doing a pod and was doing it via Zoom. I even bought some Zoom stock, and it was going up. And it really just took the piss out of it for me. And then my heart wasn't in it anymore, and I stopped doing podcasts. Which is crazy, because that's what people know me for, as the podcast guy, before all my other subtitles, before filmmaker, before father, before husband, it's podcaster. And like this year, for example, I maybe did 10 podcasts, maybe 12, maybe 15. They were all people invited themselves on my show. They're all like, hey, can I do a podcast with you? And I'd be like, sure. I didn't make them myself. I didn't do a solo cast. I did record a few and never put them out. And it was just, you know, that's what people know me for. So I'm this right here is charging me up to like do it again. Hmm. Like it's exciting me. Like this right here, just there's an electricity in the air, not just the clouds. Hmm. That gets me excited to want to do this. But this year, like all the remote ones, I don't give a fuck about them. It's cool to build connections and all that, but I'd rather miss out on that short term and build a long term relationship with someone who will come to my house to do it, you know?
Yeah.
Even if that day never comes, I can live with it.
Well, I'm a real, I would say in a lot of ways, I'm more a student of the game than you are. Because you don't
What's
consume a lot
meta?
Of consume.
Which meta are we
exactly.
talking
about? Exactly. That's where I'm getting at is like that I see these IRL content creators that like Jack Dory and Neon and Andrew Tate, all these IRL content
Joe
creators.
In there.
Joe, well, I guess so, but
he doesn't do Zooms.
No, he doesn't, but he also doesn't do collabs a lot. He does sometimes, right? But he's very much insular in sure. his content. Outside of obviously Kill Tony, you know, and all that, but they all do some fuck shit. You know what I mean?
No.
Like just like on Halloween, like Jack Doherty's security guard punches a kid in the head. You know, Andrew Tate supposedly prostituting women.
Andrew like, Tate has a podcast?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, so I guess that's another thing to talk about is like there's so many different platforms now. How do you keep up with where to be? Obviously, podcasting is kind of insular in that it's like, are you on Spotify rankings? Are you turning up on people's end of year? Like there is a path to winning that game, and generally, you know, most of Spotify is just audio, so you don't have to, you know, you don't have to go above and beyond. In the I take that back. For the IRL creators like Joe Rogan, you do because people expect video; they want to see your face. But like people who do like Crime Junkies or like they do a scripted podcast, I think people are more like, well, show me that content on Instagram. You know, show me the visual component of you as a podcaster somewhere else outside of SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Podcasts.
You know, I produced a podcast with Dakota. We did 36 episodes.
Mm-hmm. You're done?
We're not done. But
oh,
like,
yeah, keep going. Okay.
I forget that, like, I have been podcasting every week. I do the live show.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. I get the most crazy anxiety every time. Like, because it's a live stream component. You don't know who's going to call in. And I forget that, like, if I count the podcasts that I've produced, I've probably done more that I've produced than I've done for myself.
That's true.
You know, and so you got to add that to the numbers as well. There's that meta. You know, there's the business side of that. So I do that, you know, but it's strange. Like, it's when you do when you're a one man show and you're doing a podcast like me and like the one that I had, it's pretty self aggrandizing and, you know, look at me, mom. Like, look, mom, look at me. Like, it's very that, you know. But you have to be okay with that, which I'm trying. I think I'm getting more comfortable. Like, this whole year has been like a caterpillar or a chrysalis or whatever, like in a cocoon, you know. The kids call it monk mode. That was me this year. I've been in monk mode for like 9 months.
Yeah. By the way, Dakota, did you get him set up on Rumble?
No, not yet.
That's a disservice.
Yeah. I mean, there's always a flash in the pan. You know, should we be on Twitch? There's reasons why we shouldn't be, should be. Yeah. StreamYard, as of like a week ago, just, this is very inside baseball. No one's listening.
It's about
this.
Twitter.
That was today I saw, but they put Instagram.
Oh yeah, well they're coming out with the vertical live streaming on StreamYard. So yeah,
there's a way to link it up to Instagram. There's a stream key component and all that. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So that's cool. Like I need to get on that. You know.
Yeah.
Because for him, that's I would say his most active base.
Right. Facebook and
Instagram.
Instagram.
Yeah. But you're talking about the meta and
there's so much to
and all these platforms. I don't think you need to be on every platform. I think it's like like MMA, like what's your specialty? You could be a well-rounded fighter, have a good ground game, have a good standing game.
Mm-hmm.
You could be well-rounded, but what's your specialty?
Yep. Some channel, whatever channel. You need three different types of channels. You need one channel for promotion.
For what?
To broadcast and get the message out there that you have something somewhere. Like most people on Twitch, that's Twitter. So like for podcasts, probably Twitter still. Like maybe for someone who was on Instagram, that's Facebook. You know, there has to be some way of messaging that something exists somewhere else. And then on top of that, you need like an email list or some way to sell something to a, you know, your audience. But yeah, I think I'm, you know, you get pulled apart, and I think I have gotten pulled apart a lot by trying to figure out where my platform is. Like, it's not Twitch because
you're
Twitch
a LinkedIn
isn't giving
guy,
me the
dude.
Odds.
It's a no-brainer.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's a new phenomenon. I don't know what. Well, it's in the year in the span of me trying to do something as a content creator. That's a sort of new phenomenon. 2 years or whatever, you know. But I think the people who are the key opinion leaders or voices in the creator economy that are trying to build their brand on LinkedIn, it's a lot of, you know, snake oil salesmen, and I felt like the past 2 months, it felt like I was heading in this direction of joining a cult or something, you know, like being in the wrong circles, because it's like, oh, it's all to sell some bullshit course, some bullshit app that gets you discounts on some shit or something that doesn't, because the only way to become real wealthy is to have a product that sells one to many, right? Not the Tipalti's. Tipalti is great, but it's a very selective, you know, customer. It has to be somebody who's extraordinarily wealthy and is doing a massive amount of
payments. Well, it's an enterprise, right?
It's an enterprise product, right? So it's not like I'm making tons of money off of it because I only have two or three clients, right, that are using it. If I had 1,000 clients, of course, I'd be, you know, making millions of dollars, right? But it's only been a few years since I've done that. Right. And LinkedIn has no, at least the problem of that is you have the brand on LinkedIn, but then there's no platform monetization. You can externally monetize with your own email list, your own e-commerce, but they're making no efforts to make it so that you can monetize content on the platform. In fact, they're taking the content off the platform. They're taking it to something called LinkedIn Learning, and then you have to be like associated or partnered with them in order to publish content on that platform. And it's short form. There's short form video on there.
Didn't know that.
But there's no short form video on LinkedIn proper, you know?
Like an
infinite scroll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There will be. They'll figure it out.
There's infinite scroll on the platform, but it's all you go on the platform, you read three posts, and you're like, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, I don't consume on LinkedIn, never have.
No.
But I've seen people make a very comfortable living on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, they do, but it's always external, some other place.
Right, but, you know, it's all about where's the audience.
Oh, you know, mute this phone. Well, but it goes into the same, this literally goes into the same conversation of like the webinars, the virtual Zooms, like that's how people profit off of LinkedIn. That's how they make money. And it's like, it's insufferable. You're like, I'm not doing this unless we come mm-hmm. and do it in person.
Yeah.
I guess I feel the same way, but I just didn't really like communicate it or bring it towards.
Sure, sure. It's a racket. You got to find the right people, the right environment. That's the feedback I've been getting a lot in the past couple of weeks is, who am I surrounded by? Who's challenging me to be better? And I'm an island, you know, and it's that's not a conducive way to for betterment.
Well, as someone who would like to provide that to you, it's really difficult. Like, I try to provide it to every one of my friends.
Provide but what?
The support. The
I'm supported by you. Yeah, I feel it.
Well, yeah, but it's not at the level that I would want it to be. Like, I'm having to source deals. You're having to source deals. Actually, I heard this on a podcast today. It's two voiceover artists that are partnered, use the same agent, use the same marketing team. They compete, but they're, you know, they coexist and, you know, they try to go after the same deals. And that's one of the issues with being very closely related in the services that you do. Like, we're closely related in the services we do, and we both have to eat. It's hard to find the whales to feed us both. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. This year's been weird. Like, I've, like, hunted for the whales. I've hunted for the little fish. I don't know. Around this time of the year, I always go back to the same thoughts, which is, like, I don't need anybody. I just want to make YouTube videos.
I agree, yeah.
And just grow that, make 5 to 10K a month and be quote unquote happy.
But you're not doing it.
And I'm not doing it. Yeah. I've made a lot of YouTube videos this year, but that's relative, you know? I made more videos this year than my favorite YouTuber, but that's relative. Like, it's not necessarily about quant, but it's just, it's hard to find, like, a topic or a subject or an angle, you know, for me.
That's so funny. I hear the meme in of Lil Wayne.
Which is what?
You know, most rappers say that they need a subject, a verb, a predicate.
Sure.
I just go into the booth with ammo, clips, and start firing.
I love that.
That's basically what he says.
I love that.
And it's like, I do too, but I hate when I go on live and I got zero viewers for 4 hours. You know what I mean? I'm just, like, demoralized. Or, like, you publish a YouTube video and it only gets 100 views. And it's just, sure, like, you know, where's the growth? You know, especially after all the years that you've been in the game. And the answer is just more. But you said, you publish more content than your favorite content creator.
You know, like, you know, one learning.
Oh, pay to play. Payola,
of course. One thing I learned this year was, like, fuck advice. Fuck advice.
Okay.
And it's hard to say that without sounding like, listen to this advice, fuck advice, which is antithetical, paradoxical. But I can only speak for me. I can't speak for anybody else. I have a few YouTuber friends. And I've seen that they get stuck in this cycle of, well, I want to do what they're doing, what that guy is doing. That guy got over. I have to do what that guy's doing. What, I mean, I don't know any streamers, so, like, I can't make a streamer
like you
example.
Like you said, what but is like the
a
meta?
Peter, a
what?
Peter McKinnon or a Casey Neistat,
you have to
right?
do what the meta is doing.
Right, and so fuck that is what I've learned. Like, fuck that. You can get over doing what you want to do. You can. That's what the algorithm wants, is for you to figure out your own shit, and it knows exactly who to deliver that to. It does that for you. But you can't. It's never sustainable to do something that someone else is doing, to live someone else's blueprint. And I always thought, if I collected enough blueprints, I'll figure it out. And that was, like, when I put all my eggs in that basket when I was younger. And that's just not the case. Like, you have to make Trent Knox music, not music the way this person does it. It has to be Trent Knox sounds. It has to be. And that shit can get over.
So that's is an
alarm. But I really have learned that for me, and I think that's going to work for my journey. I wouldn't prescribe that to anybody, But when I'm successful, I'm doing what I want to do. And my effort is just way more, my EP, my effort points are just way, they're stacked way higher when I do it for me. A movie I direct and write and produce and edit and shoot that has my fingerprints on it is way more, there's more effort than a job I do for a client, you know?
Well, if we use viral memes, that's the Rick Rubin method.
And, you know, there's something to that. And yeah. I'm in the middle of his book. It's very heady. But at the end of the day, it's about space and presenting your authentic self and having the luxury of space to be able to do that with people that encourage that and cultivate that. That's hard. Especially when we live in such a noisy society of like, do this, do it this way, do it that way. This guy did this. You need to do that that way. I don't believe that. I just don't believe it.
I think another component of what you're saying is when the music pulls you away from the cinema, right?
What do you mean?
Well, you need music for cinema, that's for sure. But is the movie about the music or is the movie about the movie?
The movie, for me, is about the synthesis, the dance between the senses.
Mm-hmm.
Audio and visuals. I just watched, during Christmas, Kill Bill. Have you seen it?
Not recently, no.
Okay, I know it so well. I could rewrite it. I could reshoot it. Like, I know it so well. That is a harmony of the senses. Mm-hmm. It's the visuals and the audio, the sonics are there. The music was done by RZA from the Wu-Tang Clan. Like it sounds four-dimensional.
Right, yeah.
The best movies do that, aspire to do that. No matter mm-hmm. how simple or complex the story is, it is the marriage of the senses. Like it really is. And that's a very hard thing to do.
Yeah, but I think more in a general sense of if we, like in the creation part, yeah, but more in the influence part is like, you know, are you going to be listening to Vultures or are you going to be watching the new Wonka movie, right? Like, what is capturing your attention, you know, and are you being pulled away from the thing that you truly love, which is the movies, and the music is what's bothering you.
Oh, me? Is that what you're saying? Yeah. No, music doesn't. I love music, but it's always like, it never takes me away or distracts me from cinema or from the movies. It never does.
Yeah,
it's an accompaniment for the movies. Like I have a playlist that I build on Spotify, and I'm like, I have videos that are being designed and shaped by this playlist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like it informs my creativity, music does. So yeah. I don't have that.
Well,
having said that, I did not see Wonka and I did not hear Vultures.
But yeah, I don't think Vultures is technically all the way out. But I think these things, these different modalities are pulling me away from being consistent in one thing.
It's you not being... I think, tell me if I'm wrong, I think it's like you not being, you having shiny object syndrome and you not being authentic for what you want to do and how you want to do it. There's a conflict there. If you just did what you wanted to do, what turns you on, if you just did that, I think you would yield positive results. But when you try to check other people's boxes, for instance, I edit a lot of videos. There is a Hormozy style content. And clients wanted earlier this year and late last year, the Hormozy style subtitles and content. Mm-hmm. That kind of came and went. And everybody wanted to zig with Hormozy when they should have zagged and did their own thing. This is where my conflict of like, as me as a businessman and me as an artist always comes into play. Do I acquiesce and do what the client wants? Okay, that's what they want. That's my hill to die on. Or do I try to innovate and do something that like turns me on and like, you know, we're doing something new. I shouldn't be saying this, but I recently got contacted by a company to edit a video, and I edited it on CapCut and I turned it in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like the right tool to use for what they wanted. It was the right tool.
Yep.
I have DaVinci and I have Final Cut, and I decided to edit it on CapCut. And I shouldn't be saying this, but they're not going to watch it. Maybe they will. If so, I didn't lie. I told them I edited it on CapCut. And they messaged me, and they're like, the client wants to know what you edited this on. And I was like, CapCut. They're like, okay, thanks. And they haven't paid the bill. And I wonder, what did I do wrong? But it's perspective. It's, we are an elite agency of blah, blah, blah. You edited this, our product, on CapCut? It's that. And it's like, where the fuck does that come from? You know, it's me as an artist that's still fighting for the fucking tools and the paints and the palettes that I want to use today. But I probably should have finished it in Final Cut or lied and said Final Cut. And they would have been like, okay, you know, but I didn't want to lie. I kind of wanted the conflict. I wanted it. And it's funny to me because that was just the right tool. And no one's going to tell me otherwise. And I guarantee you 3, 4, 5 years from now, they're going to be editing their shit internally in CapCut. It's all roads are leading there into a fucking convergence, into a singularity. It's going to happen. It's just funny to me. Sorry. I'm like ranting. Apologize.
No, not at all. And I kind of had experiences very similarly of, you know, in when I went to college, the two primary editing...
Avid?
Well, no, not even. Was Final Cut and Adobe.
Mm-hmm.
Adobe more so.
Mm-hmm.
But when... you're trying to edit something for Netflix or something else, you have to have some bullshit encoders that those things don't have. And, you know, I don't know about CapCut or anything. CapCut reminds me of those bullshit encoder editing platforms like whatever.
Filmora
or the other one, Sony Vegas.
You know, I had Sony Vegas, bro. I used to edit. I edited my first like 100 videos on that.
And I feel like that those exist because they have some sort of relationship with Netflix or Amazon or something. You know what I mean? It's a gamut. There is a racket to it, right? And so as much to say as those people, you know, I don't know. It doesn't sound like they gave you like a real feedback. Like it's just
no
like,
feedback, but like the pretense, the there subtext was what was this shit?
Yeah,
and it wasn't like. Bad. It was just they gave me examples and I'm like, well, CapCut's the best tool for that. You want that aesthetic. And they were just like,
well, maybe what they wanted.
So I'm waiting for that invoice.
I get the idea of like where they're coming from in the sense that like, and I don't think that you can't do this and I don't think anybody can't do it, but it takes a lot more time is like custom effects.
Suck my dick. You know, so yeah. You go to an art gallery.
Give me a fucking $1 million to make custom.
You go to
effects.
An art gallery and you see paintings. Have you been to a museum?
Anytime that happens, say like, hey, I made it in After Effects.
I know, right? You know, I should lie, but yeah. I don't want to. Imagine you go to a museum and you see these paintings, and you know, wow, this was painted on oil.
Yeah.
Or this was painted on acrylic.
Yeah.
And then you see one that was done in crayon.
Yeah.
It could be marvelous. It could be a Matisse. But you're like, well, it was done on crayon, so I don't respect it. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
No, I agree.
It doesn't matter. Like, the tools shouldn't matter, you know? We live in a world where...
Not in this case, no.
I'm going to shout him out. Well, I'm not going to shout him out, but a mutual friend.
Mm-hmm.
Let's change that subject. Never mind. I'm not going to go there. But
What are you trying to say?
What I want to say is you can film on a phone nowadays.
Yep.
And the average eye won't be able to – there's no discernible difference between the phone and a DSLR or a mirrorless camera.
Well, that's what Apple has tried to pull the wool over our eyes about is that all their keynotes, all the things that they do are supposedly shot on iPhone. But
I totally believe it.
Well, not the same iPhone that we shoot on, you know.
I believe so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have $1 million jig. You know, I don't like, you know, the shit that they're shooting with, the lights that they use, the all the accessories that go to making that shot.
Uh-huh. Makeup department, wardrobe,
all that shit.
The sound,
the actors that they're now using. You know what I mean?
Sure.
There's
it just goes to show that so the camera, this 1-inch sensor or whatever it is,
it works.
It works
with a little help.
That's not the issue. Of course, it's always been you're painting with light and the sound has to be whatever. That's always been the case. But we're there now. We're there now. And there are people who are denying it. And I like to be on the fucking edge.
Yeah, we're definitely beyond there because, well, I don't have it. But and I don't even know if Android has the power to do this. But the component of spatial video on the iPhone.
Yeah.
You know, that's big because then you don't have to go out and buy that Canon lens that's $800 to put on an RF mount mirrorless camera or buy a Red Komodo or whatever the fuck.
Sure.
You know? But I still get wet for that A9 or whatever it is.
Sure. Sure. The global shutter, blah, blah, blah. There's always something.
It's funny how
5 years from now, everything's going to have a global shutter.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny how AI said, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's camera, except for if it's a Sony A7S3.
AI said that?
AI said that.
I didn't know that. That's funny.
And I was trying to figure out, can I just ask AI to make the Ten Commandments for a videographer and for it to be funny and tell me? It only did one. And I was like, ah, well, you know, at least it tried.
Yeah.
You know, and then I asked for, no, do all 10. And it's like all 10 regular commandments. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. So it has like a threshold, right? But AI, that's what's been, you know, set this year on fire for sure.
Yeah.
Since November of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole thing about Copilot, you know, that's, for me, I've been able to make little graphics and stuff like that. And I don't maximize AI by any means. And I also don't follow influencers that talk about it a lot. Maybe I should be following more influencers or content creators creating content about it. But I just know that the hardware, like the glasses that Meta made with Ray-Ban, like now they have AI in them. They don't do, you know, the things that I want them to do, which is like record long format video to the cloud, or, you know, the camera is just okay. You know, and most of it, I think even it only does 9x16. Is that right? 16x9, 9x16.
I've never done my research on the Meta glasses.
But they only record for like 15, 60 second increments, unless you're Instagram living. So it's just like little things like that. But then you step in to the next, you know, ocean, which is the VR. And then the next ocean above that, which is this AR competition between the Quest Pro and the Apple Vision Pro. Like, we haven't seen the Apple Vision Pro come out yet, but, you know, when it does come out, you know, it's going to revolutionize the way we consume content. You know, we're talking about 9x16 and 16x9. 360 is going to be the way people consume things in the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they already sort of do that with video games and et cetera. Like, there's a 360 consumption of Fortnite and all that shit.
I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, when you play the game, you go in a circle, you know, so there's like a world that you exist in, you
right?
Know?
Yes.
But
GTA 6, bro.
I know. That's the next level thing. And I mean, hopefully, you know, I'm a guy that can start playing the game and I can start to make some money playing the game. Because right now, the big thing is this thing called GTARP, No Pixel. And it's like a custom server, which everyone can. It's basically like GTA 5.5 before 6 comes out from the publisher, right? But I've already got an idea in my mind of who I want to be in GTA 6. Mm. I want to be like a Texan, you know, like all balls out, because like I can't afford to go, you know, helicopter shooting hogs or, you know, like being an archaeologist, you know what I mean? So like, I don't even know, you know, it's so mind blowing that I'm thinking about an ulterior life, because I know that it can exist in that environment. It's never been able to do that before. Second Life, World of Warcraft, all these other MMOs, they've never been able to be so customizable. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, that's another world that's coming out in 2 years that you can exist in. You can be a cinematographer and make real movies in the world over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I got to get my shit together for 2025 so I can afford to take like a month and a half off and play that game.
Are you excited for it?
I am, because it's really like my it's really like my introduction to games. Like,
well, you played Red Dead Redemption.
I played it, you know, for like 2 hours, and I was like, I can't. I didn't like the controls. Okay. I really didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the things that may be an issue with this. Is like,
well, I think it's going to be stupid easy. Like, stupid
well,
not easy.
The well, people say they don't like the controls of GTA 5. So it's like, for okay, as someone who grew up playing Call of Duty, Call of Duty's controls have gotten shittier and shittier and shittier every year as it's gotten better, because it's they start to do too much, you know? The jetpacking, the sliding, all these things. When you just want to kind of like run around a corner, shoot somebody, and then run away. Right. And not have them fly in on a freaking jetpack, scrape across the wall, stick you, then stick somebody else. And you know, there's a whole generation they call the Zoomers, because they're constantly moving. You know, we grew up in an area where you sat down on the couch and you watched a movie for 3 hours or whatever the time it was. You weren't on your phone flipping through content. They're just like on the move. They got the content, the VR glasses on, they've got the whatever, you know, the hoverboards.
Sure.
They don't really do, I don't see too many people doing that, but you know, like, there was a whole period of time where everyone was going running around on hoverboards. You know, for people in the future, we're not talking about actual hoverboards. They had like wheels, and you know, the mall cops would stop them on their Segways. You know, and they were down to earth. Popped in my head, how do you think you've been doing as far as lowering the stakes?
Better. Thank you for asking. Yeah, because that's a very tailor-made question for me. Better. Especially, so like September, October was a very busy time. Like, we probably didn't even talk. Like, it was super busy for me. I was filming, and I remember the day I finished editing everything. Like, I had everything done. I filmed a wedding. I did this 4-day documentary. I did a bunch of shit. And I was doing the podcast weekly every fucking day, which, I mean, every week. And so I was just like, and I started doing the dentist stuff and traveling, and, you know, my weeks were just like disappearing. And then when I got out of that, I decided, remember, lower the fucking stakes. Like, you know, what's important to you? And right now, I feel very good about it. I feel very good. A little too zen about it right now. My stakes are fucking low. Like, I learned I learned how to balance shit this year, you know? Like, I learned what's important to me. Bills getting paid is important, you know, for sure. How they're paid, somewhat important. I've learned what's a curse and what's a blessing, and I you know, I feel like I'm being intentionally vague here, but lowering the stakes, man, like, some shit is not as important as you think it is at all. I have a friend who, on Christmas Eve, their child had a seizure. 15-minute seizure, had to be airlifted to, like, a hospital. And then on Christmas Day, the child passed away, 5-year-old. And today, they don't have the money to bury this child, and they're like asking for donations. And that put a lot of shit into perspective, you know, of what matters. And like, all this shit that, where I live in my head way too much, got me right out of that. It doesn't fucking matter. You know, A lot of this shit doesn't matter. It's trivial.
Yep.
Like, even creativity. Like, when it comes down to it, like, your child passing away, who you are as an artist doesn't fucking matter when that happens to you, you know?
Yeah, I think that weighing what is important to you in your head is one of the things that's most challenging because, you know, I think the vast majority of people live in the past. You know, those that live in the present, I think
you're right.
You know, like you, this is a very present moment talking about like a reflection on something that happened in the past, but is like yesterday, you know, mm-hmm. But I think as far as content consumption goes, I tend to live in the future.
You do.
But like what that manifests in the real world is like, I'm very lost.
Mm.
Because the thing that.
Did you ever see Harry Potter?
Oh yeah, of course.
Are you familiar with it?
Sure.
Do you know what the Pensieve is?
The Pensieve?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Dumbledore has like this cauldron.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That they put their face into, and they can see a memory.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. You're in the Pensieve,
mm-hmm.
And then you get out of it, and you're like, "I'm fucking lost." You know, that's what's going on with you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah. You're in here, looking down on your phone or on a screen or whatever, and then when you get out of it, you're like, "Where the fuck is this?"
What's
going on, man?
Exactly. Because the envy triggers too.
Envy triggers.
Triggers.
Envy triggers.
It's the trigger.
You envy, know? Really?
Well, and I'll explain that is that like
that's such an interesting
the conversation about the live streaming game is that everyone is cheating. It's just even the platforms are cheating.
Okay.
The question is just who can get away with it? Who can get away with chat bots, view bots, audio bots? All the bots and show all the numbers.
Am I hearing that you can't get away with the cheating?
Oh, no, not that I can't get away with it. It's
and you're envious about those that do?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm not doing it.
Okay.
I'm not even participating. Right? I'm. It's like, we'll just say this. Like, I am very disappointed in my little penis. Right? My little penis isn't doing what a big penis could do. But maybe it's a big penis is just as envious of what a little penis does or doesn't do, right? I just don't have the perspective. Like I'm not even in that. I'm not in that zone to know whether or not the people who are view botting, chat botting at the very highest are dying inside because all of their money goes to playing the game, playing the marketing game, playing the association game.
It's the grass is greener on the other side.
Yeah, a lot of that's true, and it's like, so that bothers me. That gets me wrapped up, and then I'm like paranoid or you know whatever about it, emotional about it. And then it's like when I do take action, and I'm like, oh well, you know, it doesn't work out for me. Not guys like me, but it's not working out for me in the live streaming stuff or like whatever. And then it's like, but remember, it's like everyone says is like do more. And then
fuck advice.
I don't know about it though. I don't
fuck advice. Fuck
it. I just don't know. I just don't know, man.
Don't listen to it.
I don't know. I know that I'm not doing anything that would go viral off of itself. I'm just doing normal average Joe shit. I'm very average Joe. That's what I am. I'm 5'9". I got a small dick. Like a very average Joe. Right? Like
it's cool to broadcast that.
Well, I mean, it's a bit of lowering the stakes, but it's like self-actualization, just being real with yourself is that like I'm just average. I'm not above average. I think the school system especially gets you on that shit. It's like, you know, you don't get A's, you don't go to the next best school. You don't get A's there, you don't go to the next best school. You don't get the best jobs at the best places, you know?
Sure.
And so, like, it's just like, damn it, man. I'm a C human being.
Uh-huh.
Even though I got A's or B's, you know, in school or I had this kind of GPA, I'm still just an average human being. I'm not extraordinary, but then I see people who are very average
I was just about to say.
Getting extraordinary rewards. Rewards has like a, you didn't do anything to deserve
results.
It. But results, yeah. And I'm just like, it's the ick. What are you supposed to do about it? How can I rise up and, you know, and do something about it? You know, I'm not a J6er. I wouldn't have found myself in, you know, in D.C. or around the area busting down doors, trying to bring down the system. I cannot do that. I want to preserve some form of that everything's okay. You know, that there are people out there that are looking out
for someone,
at the very top for me
for someone
as
who
an average
is,
guy.
Someone who's average Joe. You can't have average Joe effort and work ethic.
See, that's what women do. That's trend for women is like.
Let's not go there because
you got little dick energy.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is your average Joe. What's the other word? It's like the word mediocre is like in my mind.
Little dick energy.
But you didn't say
mediocre,
so I don't want to bring that in if it doesn't apply. But you mentioned that there are average Joes out there that win.
Well, hold on. Mediocre. I want to keep that because there's a component of to that that it's like the mediocrity of just being in the game, right? Just you're just doing whatever, like what you were saying. You're just trying to do what everyone else is doing. You know, that's mediocre.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a race to the bottom.
But there's something that you get from doing that, right? A dopamine boost from trying to do something that someone else.
My point
does,
is,
you know what I mean?
If you got a small dick and you're mediocre and you're average, you have to work harder than the guy with the bigger dick.
Yeah, I'm just like
you have to put in more effort. Be funnier,
yep,
more
yep,
charming.
Yep, yeah, you gotta. Yeah, you
more
gotta
charismatic.
Do more.
These intangible qualities that it's an overcompensation of like X, Y, and Z.
But then you can't lower the stakes.
Well, then you can't lower the stakes. Yes, that's true. But if you desire more, you can't lower the stakes.
I hate to say this. No, I don't hate to say this. I like to say this, you need a savior. You, if you have little dick energy, you are a little dick, little person, you know, you get wrapped up in your ego, you, these things happen. You need a savior. You need something that is your partner in crime. That is your, like, thing. And whether that be like a dog or a wife or a child that you had in a marriage, out of marriage, whatever it is, you need something to help you coping, get through life. That's my thought.
Before I had a wife and kids and a dog and all that, I had my dream. My dream kept me alive. So like recently I've been, you know, we mentioned, and it's like a rock in my shoe when you said it. I was like, you motherfucker. But like we're tight, so, you know, I respect it. I told you this is around the time of the year where like I want to go in all in on YouTube. It just seems like the most logical thing for me, but I don't do it. And so what's weird is like for me, it feels like, how do I do this? But I've done it so many times. But I'm like, how do I make a video? Like I'm literally like looking at a blank canvas and I'm like, how do I do this? And so one thing that I do, and this is very self-masturbatory, but like I watch my old videos and I'm like, oh man, that shit's dope. I forget that like that I know what I'm doing and like this shit's good. And I have to remind myself that, oh man, when I had nothing, I had a dream, I had passion, and I had, what's the word am I looking for here? Not the ego, the ambition. I had the ambition to conquer shit. In spite of not having X, Y, and Z, not having those comforts and saviors. And so you have to dig deep to that place. And I'm just saying this like as a man, like you have to, you know, put the fucking XP in, like in a game, and get your character jacked and fucking take over. Like, you have to. You have to become a killer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to. Because hey, isn't this like another recurring theme of the year for me is no one's going to save you. And I know that's very rah-rah. It's very David Goggins-y. But no one's going to fucking save you. There is no savior. Really. Like, well, like what's his name? Tate? That guy's not going to save you. He's not the savior.
Well, I think this is interesting you say this because while I'm envious of the guy that is average like me performing at a higher level, there's people who are below average, you know, and I think that might, you know, we could talk about how that impacts why China might want to take over the United States or how the Russians are, you know, somehow trying to get in between the both that or whatever. You know, we could go down a lot of different pathways, but like the people who are below average, I think Tate does help because it helps them, you know, kind of aspire to overcoming those things. I know that you can overcome it, you know, but the thing that I'm doing is, you know, continually facing, continually falling below, I don't want to say victim, that's the wrong thing, but failing to overcome the consequences of trying. Like, you know, you pick up a fucking box and your back gets thrown out and then you can't work out. You know, that's the thing that's most challenging. And the answer to that is you got to go see the doctor. You got to find somebody that's going to help you. You got to find a savior. You can't sit around expecting a savior to just, you know, pop up out of nowhere.
I don't agree with that.
Why?
I just fucked up my back like the other day. The first comment you made when I walked in here was like, are you okay? What's going on? Did you step into something? And I'm like, it's probably just my posture because I feel great. Like, I overcame it. But like for 2 weeks, I couldn't even think about anything else other than the pain. I couldn't even think about what I had to do. Like, I couldn't even go on my walks, you know? I was fucking miserable. And I rehabbed it. And I had to remind myself and be faced with the fact of, like, this is weakness. I was confronted with my own weakness. And I know that's very macho bullshit, but, like, it's also true. And so we have to overcome weakness.
Well,
especially if you're an average or below average person. I don't think in those terms, so I'm not going to put myself like an above, below, or average scale. I don't think of myself that way. I really don't. I don't do this.
This is a bit of a proxy conversation.
Okay.
You know, because even though some people might not be able to associate the words to other things, and you know, I myself with my autism I'm not very good at pattern recognition.
Right? Oh, okay.
But a lot of people who are like geniuses and things like that, that what they're good at doing is cutting corners because they recognize a pattern. Right. And so like, I'll get stuck on a certain, skin of a conversation or in the video game terms.
Yeah.
Right. When it's like, this conversation is associated to a lot of different decisions that people make in their lives. And so then they get wrapped up in making the decisions today versus the decisions in the long run, which are like, yeah, this life is what we live. When we die, we don't take it with us. So, you know, the decisions you make today, and not making a decision to work on your back by yourself on your own without help, expecting like a savior to pop up out of nowhere, or even going to the doctor and expecting them to provide you with good services.
I've never had expectations.
Expectations. There we go.
Period. I don't. Everything's my fault. Everything's on me.
Yeah.
Even the shit that's not on me is on me, you know?
Right.
When I mentioned my friend whose child passed away, I felt so much guilt. I felt like I should be in a place where I could donate $3,000 and just be like, that's on, like, I took care of that for them. I feel like I should, like, I felt guilt that I wasn't there.
Hmm.
That's the expectations that I have. If I was in her shoes, I wouldn't expect anyone to save me. You know, I wouldn't expect that, but I expect it of myself.
Right.
And I think that's pulled me out of a lot of catastrophes, man.
That's interesting. What that triggered in my brain was, I've been having a lot of dreams lately when I'm sleeping, not like aspirations, but actual dreams with people that are currently in, like, my social life. Mm-hmm. Last night I had a dream that you were in.
Oh.
And we were in this, like, big mansion place. And there were all these not grunge people in there, and they were all, like, Italian. Like I don't understand, you know. Like, you know, I woke up and I'm like, Knives not Italian. So yeah. He's Spanish, you know, yeah. Or whatever. But, like, yeah. So, like, it's like, but it was, like, your friends. It was your, like, it was an embodiment of your vibe, okay, right?
Sure.
All the people, right? And I was like a fish out of water. Like, where do I put my hands?
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't say anything. And even through the dream, I was like, just don't say anything. And they won't, like, think you're any type of way.
Uh-huh.
Right? And that worked out. And they were like, oh, you're cool. And I'm like, I didn't say anything.
It's working.
I was like, yeah, all right, cool.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, yeah, you can come back next time, blah, 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 all this shit. And I was just like, and I woke up and I was like, oh, thank God I wasn't in that dream yeah, anymore, because I felt like, I don't know, I was like, it was just like socially awkward internally. It probably wasn't externally.
Sure.
But it was like they, like, played guitar. They did all these cool, fancy shit. And that's kind of like it was like, how do I see you and then embody it in all these different characters?
Yeah.
Of, like, an artsy crowd, right? Maybe that's what it was.
Maybe.
But I don't know. I've had other dreams with this this female that I know of, and it's tied between her and a client, a wealthy client. And they kind of combat each other. And not they're not combative, but they have some weird association of, like, without this person, I can't have this person. Because mm-hmm. I need this person to fund my dream. I need this person to, because this person, well, this person, it's hard to say. This person is like a money drainer. They have their own money. And so it's like a weird thing in my mind that I need that to be the man with the money to provide for the female. And I need to get that from the male over here that's the man.
Yeah.
I'm not the man. They're not, like, she's not interested in,
well, in both, you know, those that dreams, person. That's sort of the thing.
How do you, what do you think that? So, oh, I see what you're saying.
So mutual friend.
But I don't kind of, like, I don't look at the cool people necessarily as the resource. Whereas the guy,
the common money. Theme that I'm picking up is this idea of main character energy.
And I'm not that?
Not in both those dreams.
Oh, no, never.
Even in your own head.
Mm-mm. Uh-oh.
It's interesting, don't you think?
No, anytime I've ever exerted main character energy, I've always had negative experiences. There's always a demon lurking. It's going to flip out, boom, fucking crazy shit.
You got to fix that shit.
I'm trying to avoid the demon. No demons, please.
Fight the demon.
No demon. Demon always kills me. The demon always kills me. But you're not dead. That's because I don't fuck with the demon. You
can't run away from it forever.
Huh?
You can't run away from it forever.
No. It's like there are different sorts of demons. There are demons that you have a negotiation with them. And they do your dirty work for you. Mm-hmm. Like, they go and fight
sure.
the people that are sending demons at you.
Okay.
So demon fighting, right? But there's But whenever you try to be as good as the demon or on the same level as the demon murders you.
So let's break that down. What's the demon in non-abstract terms?
It's different for everyone, but I think if for me, you know, it's been like being at a bar, you know, hitting on the wrong chick. She's got a boyfriend, get punched in the face. In real life, in dream life, when you get murdered, it's like an existential thing. Like you are your own demon. Like jump off a bridge, murder, suicide. You know, like it's something's chasing you in the dark. The boogeyman under the bed. Like there are tropes, of course, that are like, you know, everyone kind of experiences those demons. Right. But then the one, I don't know, man. I don't know. Cause there are shadow. There's the shadowy figure that people see, you know, they call it something in Mexican culture where you like wake up and you can't get out of bed and it's like a big old black fucking thing is choking you or whatever. Yeah, yeah. I've had that one before. That one's pretty wild.
That's what I hear.
It's not the chupacabra. It's something else. Yeah. I don't know. What about you? I don't know. You know?
I don't have demons like that. I have bad dreams, recurring bad dreams, but like I don't have demons. And I've squashed a lot of like these monsters that I ran away from in my life. I squashed a lot of them this year.
Really?
Most of them.
What happened?
Just tons of meditation and exposure therapy kind of stuff. Like just being like, okay, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to confront this thing. And I did. And it was confrontation. There was conflict. And was way better after the fact.
That's one of them demons that it's almost enforced by society, reinforced by society. I think that's why The Matrix actually covered it, is that person that's supposed to be a savior that's really a demon. You know, that was what's his name's character? The one with the blue glasses.
Blue glasses.
The psychiatrist, Neil Patrick Harris.
The new one, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a demon. Like, he's not an angel or a savior, but he's represented as, that's his duty, is to be the person that gets you out of your head, gets you out of the matrix. Mm-hmm. But in fact, it's some, you know, it's this passive submission. It's this, and I knew the matrix was going to come up in this conversation, but, you know, that demon. You?
For me, a lot of these demons were like Godzilla. Like, I created it. You know? Like, Godzilla, if I understand the lore, wasn't this creature that existed for thousands of years. It was created by mankind. And a lot of my demons, so to speak, were created by me from failures, from regrets, from shame, from guilt. And I had to squash a lot of those things because they were just no longer serving me. And I did. And I feel like every time I killed a demon, 50 pounds of weight just got off my chest and I could walk. And I feel like I can breathe, you know, now. And they don't affect the bad dreams anymore. I don't have these panic-induced dreams and all this shit anymore. I let a lot of it go, man.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
I wish I could give you a very honest, they're just so personal and so shameful that I'm not going to talk about it on a podcast, but I wish I could share it with you specifically. Like, oh, here's this one failure and it haunted me for 6 years and I let it go. I forgave myself because ultimately, like, I was punishing myself far more than like what the crime was, far more. And so I was like, oh, I'm not going to punish myself anymore. And so I let it go. Forgave myself.
I think personally, there's a lot. I mean, my brain just raced through like the alien stuff, like all of the mainstream talking points right now, like that everyone has to bring up in a conversation when they're at a party sipping on their favorite beverage or, you know, whatever they're a part of. And I guess that's a component of the dream that I had. And what do I have to say? Like, I think that's a big thing that I've struggled with, and I especially with creating content recently, is like what do I have to say in my life, because I'm not getting, and I haven't been able to do the things that I want to do, you know, because there's always some gate that's locked to not get there. And then sometimes it's like, it's a good excuse. Oh, the gate's locked. You know, I can't open the gate today because what happens if the dogs get out? Or, you know, there's always something. And, you know, especially, you know, this is like a legitimate thing. Like, I have to go and fight these demons, like, which are all no answers. You know, no. It's like, how many no's can I take to get to a yes? You know, and it's like, is that yes enough to get, you know, overcome all the no's that it took to get to that yes? And a lot of the times it's like, is it worth it to fight this demon right now? Or do I just delay it until, you know, the next, you know, thing where it's like progressive? It's like you progressively get so many no's to where you throw out your back. And I still had a similar issue recently where I was like, I kind of have to, you know, blame myself a little bit, because I got a little overzealous and I was like, oh, I want to move that thing that may or may not need to be moved. And then it's like, I moved it. And then like, of course there's a snake underneath the thing. And now it's like, ah, man, good thing it wasn't a venomous snake, you know? So I didn't die fighting my own theory of what a demon is versus the actual demons that, you know, are out there. It's like, oh, this should move. You know, it shouldn't be in this position. Then you go and do it, and it's like, oh, that's not what the universe wanted me to do. Or, you know, or like, it's just like the trickster component of the duality of Thor and Loki. They're both the same thing. It's just that one's going to kind of joke with you and, you know, throw a snake at you, and then it turns into a bird. Or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. But I think the world and these things and what you spend your time thinking about has been the thing that's been kind of making it very difficult for me to make content.
You're thinking too much.
You know what I mean?
You're thinking
too much. You got to have something to say. You're
thinking too
much.
What
are you saying?
You're thinking too much.
Yeah, I don't have anything to say if I'm not thinking.
You've been saying a lot of shit today.
Yeah, because I'm just saying the things about the thinking thing.
Yeah.
And that doesn't seem very... It doesn't seem like it's producing as much results for anyone.
I think you're looking at it in a very warped way. You know, what you say, like, there's no humanity in what you're talking about. Like, you're taking what you say and then it has to be productive. You know, you're taking what you say and it has to produce results. That's not the right way to fucking exist.
Well, let's talk about that, I guess, because, you know, like...
Well, something I was going to say while you were talking was, dude, this sounds very Gary Vee, but you are going to die.
Yeah.
You're going to die. Mm-hmm. What would you do if you had 1 week to live? You probably wouldn't make content.
I probably wouldn't do anything. I mean, if we're just, you know, there's got to be something going on. You know what I mean?
What does that mean?
I mean, if I was going to die in a week, I'm probably bedridden.
You would spend your life?
I mean, I probably can't get out of bed.
Really?
If I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I'm going to die.
You wouldn't get all your shit in.
I probably can't.
Why?
Because my legs are broken or, like, you know, something that prevents – that I'm literally going to die in a week. That's what's – unless you're talking existentially, and that's not humanity.
Yeah, like a
– That's not humanity. Like a meteor hitting the earth? No, like, not humanity.
Not a meteor, but, like, say you have a terminal illness.
I mean, that's the game that everybody plays.
You have an aneurysm, you're just going to die, right?
You know what I mean?
You're just going to die, right? It doesn't matter. You're overthinking it. But you're going to die. You have a week to live. What do you do?
Well, then you have to overthink it, because then you're like, oh, what am I going to do?
What are you going to do?
Well, I'm still...
You seem pretty committed to staying in bed.
You'd be stuck here. I got no money. I'm not going anywhere.
So...
I got no money. Nobody cares about you anymore. I mean, literally, like... I mean, people care. People want you to do things. Like, they want you to, if you're like in somehow, you know, associated with them, they're like, oh, can you go solve this problem for me? And sure, no problem. You know, and yeah, I mean, I struggle with this idea that just thinking about that makes me think about other people who are going through that situation. And you talked about your friend whose kid died. It's like, what if they had known their kid was going to die in a week? Like, what would they do for that kid?
Right. I think they would give that kid the greatest life they ever had.
Yeah, they definitely didn't get that.
We don't know. We don't know. I don't know how the kid spent his last
days.
I don't know. But I assume it was the best.
I don't know.
We should live like that. We should live like we could die tomorrow.
Well, that's the Tim McGraw song.
I don't know it.
Anyway.
We should live like that. Yeah. And I think that should dictate our decisions. You know, puts a little more oomph in what we do, knowing that, like, we can die.
We know that. And there's nothing we can do about it.
I've always felt, since I was, like, 13, the clock ticking. I always hear it, man, and it's why I made a movie at 24. I was in a rush to do it because I was like, I don't know how long I got. Seriously,
yeah.
Seriously, it's why I was in a rush to have a kid because I was like, I don't know how long I have to feel this. It's why I'm in a rush to do what I do now. You know, I try to do too many things. That's part of my problem.
On psychedelics, there's a sense that this long performed dream, right, that when you're cognizant or you have consciousness, is that this is just a part of a different dream.
Sure.
Right. And
I've heard that.
When you're into whatever the dream state is like accessing something that's coexisting at the same time.
Sure.
You know, but, and then when you start to look outward at society on the psychedelics, you start to think, like, what are they rushing for? You know?
Slow down.
The nuclear Armageddon, the alien invasion, the meteor crashing on the Earth. It's like, okay, you know, what are you going to do about it when it happens?
Like, sure.
Nothing. You know, the cancer diagnosis, right. the that.
Dude, I want to get all my shit in before the cancer. Like, I want to get it all in. I'm all cool for, like, withering away for 4 years, like, but I want to have gotten all my shit in. You know, I'm 35, so I'm not exactly a spring chicken, you know?
I mean, the thing about that is, like, the collective demons, if they recognize you have the cancer, they want to put you into a chair, they want to put you on chemotherapy, they want you to not do anything, right? Well, that's cancer treatment.
Sure.
You know, you get the chemotherapy.
It's not doing nothing, but I know what you mean.
Well, no, they want you to do that.
You got to fight the cancer.
It's inverse to the things like Rogan says, where you go get the stem cells, you go get this, you go get that. Like my grandmother, she's dealing with Parkinson's. She could go do the things that, you know, the alternative medicine things that, you know, that doesn't have enough peer-reviewed research, that's not a part of the system, that's not this, that, the third, whatever the excuse is, you know, asking and saying, hey, look, there's, you know, studies that show that cannabis, you know, regenerates the brain cells that impact the areas of the brain that are impacted by Parkinson's. It's like, oh, but, you know, during the times of Reefer Madness and all this propaganda that got pushed into the, you know, the baby boomers' brains, you know, they're like, well, I can't have that medicine to treat this. But, you know, inversely, I completely understand that because there's the side effects, you know, going back into the Neil Patrick Harris and telling you, you know, calm down. You know, don't do anything. You get cancer. Sit. You know, wither away. You know, don't try to fight the Matrix. You know, not in the Andrew Tate way of, like, you know, molesting children or, like.
Did he do that?
No, but I'm just saying it's associated. You're guilty by association.
Oh, okay.
You know, when people start to go down the dialogue tree of Andrew Tate, then they start talking about Jeffrey Epstein. They start talking about, you know, Harry Weinstein. They group them together.
Okay.
A grouping mindset. And so it's like you hear some – like the telephone game is like, yeah, that person did that. And I am a victim of that as well. Not a victim. That's been co-opted. You know, my history of what people think of me, you know, whether they think of me or they don't think of me, is by what they can Google or what they can, you know, if they went to school with me as a kid, or they went to school with me in college, or if they worked with me for whatever reason in this environment. The limited amount of friends that are closer to me, like you and Brian and my mom and my brother and stuff that are like in their circle, they kind of have a better glimpse of what's the actual reality because it's developing. They don't have like this packaged idea. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea necessarily what people's first impressions might be. If they envision, if someone was getting a first impression from this podcast, they thought I'm a way more developed human than I am. You know what I mean?
You think so?
I mean, the microphones, the podcast, all this shit, like the shit that goes into being in this. Number one, like experience, you know, mm-hmm, your Ten Commandments. It's like,
yeah,
you know, and it would be a lot nicer to have, let's not use the word savior, but lovers. Versus haters. Lovers are commenters, likers, subscribers. You know, those, well, obviously sometimes there's hate watching, obviously. So mm-hmm, there's like hate subscribers. But I don't know, maybe this is a question. Do you think that the people who tend to have larger audiences have a larger amount of haters than?
Of course.
So they intentionally harvest the haters.
So right now you probably have one hater for every how many lovers, as you call them?
Zero. So you're saying zero lovers for one hater.
You have zero lovers?
I'm on the inverse. I have more lovers than haters.
I'm asking you, like, you probably have one hater out of like five lovers. What's the ratio?
Oh, my inverse. Five haters to one lover.
Okay. So using that rationale, if you had 100 lovers, how many haters would you have?
Jesus.
Think about that. You don't think Mr. Ridiculous. Beast has those? Of course he does.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, they're trying
Joe
to
has
accuse
them.
Him
they all
of,
have them. Everybody they, has
like,
them.
Like, he put those wells in Africa and they tried to...
He got
to,
shit for it.
He tried to cure blindness.
He did. Well, not, he cured it, but, like, he fixed those,
he's
those
fixed
people's
them.
Visions and hearing and builds wells, and he still gets shit for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're closing in on an hour 30.
How do you feel?
I feel good. I
hope this was productive for you. I'm always trying to find a productive angle here.
Yeah, I think
we went pretty dark, but I think you needed that.
You're
more vulnerable. Here I am commentating on the pod in real time.
No.
You're more vulnerable in this pod than I've ever seen you.
I don't disagree with what you're saying, but I don't think that, you know, that's necessarily what I think I don't think that's the message I want people to get. I think the message that I want people to get is that everyone has their thing, right? And if you don't, like you said, you said fight the demons. I am fighting the demons. It's just that, you know, I'm not getting the results. And that just goes into the, you know, when you produce the content, you don't get the followers or whatever, right? And it's not because you're plugging and saying, hey, you know, like, comment, and subscribe. Follow me on Instagram at Trent Knox or whatever the thing is, like the quirky little thing, right? I think that being like that, maybe, you know, being open about a lot of different things that people might find vulnerability to it. I don't personally find vulnerability to it, but it's only because I've been doing it for a long time.
It takes a lot of guts, and you were especially vulnerable when you were talking about little dick energy and being
no, but I've been doing average. That. It's not like this is the first podcast I've done that. It's just that it does feel that way when it's stacked with a lot of different things.
Well, like I've tracked, I can emotionally, mentally track like all the pods we've done. We've probably done like 20. This one was pretty vulnerable, I thought. You're adverse to the word. You cringe at the word.
Vulnerability?
Yeah.
No, not really. I think
vulnerability. Vulnerability.
I think
you don't like it.
A long time ago. I think a long time ago when I thought that I could be the man, and I think the thing is I'm becoming more and more aware that I'm just an average. You know, I'm just like, oh, fuck, I can't do it. I can't do it. It's impossible to do it. I can't be the man. And like, what am I going to do? I can't fucking do it. I've tried one time after the other to get the girl, get the car, get the house, get the thing.
How many times have you tried? You know what I
mean? My whole life.
How many times? Put a number on it. Dude,
but count the seconds. That's what I do with my life.
Okay,
I mean, that's generally what people
do
with their lives.
5 times you've tried?
What do you mean?
How many times have you tried?
All of those things?
To be the man.
Every day I wake up. So how many days have I been alive? I don't know how many days I've been alive.
So every day
30
you try.
Years.
You try a different thing every time?
No, not.
So you try the same thing every time?
Probably, yeah.
What does Einstein call that?
I think that you're... I feel like this to be silly. Because, of course, it's very memetic to be like... doing the same thing over and over again.
And expecting different results is insanity.
Yeah. But that's so mimetic. It's just like everyone says that. That's the thing everyone has to say.
For a reason.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know.
Who are we to deny Einstein?
Tesla.
I would say like,
that's it.
To lose weight, for example. To lose weight.
Yeah.
Here we are. We're approaching the end of the year, New Year's. Everyone rushes to the gym. I've probably tried 3 things, 5 things to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Not 100 things, not 300 things. And I could name them about 5 things.
That's different, right? So every little thing you can remember.
Sure.
Like,
but you said that you've done 10,000 things to be the man. And I just wanted to know, name those things. What are those things, really?
Chasing pussy.
How does that make you the man?
It's a part of the thing. It's like... At least it's a part of the thing to me. A part of the thing to me is having the wife, having the kids, having the house, having the car,
the
having
khakis.
The things, this, that, and the third. No, I've done that too, man. The fuck, dressing in the suit, going to the job, trying to be the man there. Just like, I don't go in and end up being the main character. I'm always a background player or something else. Like, no, I've been the main character when I was a kid.
I believe, so like YouTube, right? YouTube. Everyone that has a plaque are the main character of their lives. I really believe that.
There's a component of that, yeah.
I really believe that. And in order to, here's a wrestling meme. In order to be the man, you have to beat the man, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in order to be the man, you have to be the main character of your story. You have to. That's the only way, like... Whether if it's being the man or like getting over on the internet.
Yeah.
Ubiquitous. You have to be the main character. Dude, one of my favorite things about Alan Conception, I'll call him by name, is he radiates main character energy.
Yep.
I love that. You know, like I watch him. It's a superpower. Like he doesn't give a fuck who he's in front of. He doesn't give a fuck if these people are paying him. He is unabashedly himself. I respect the shit out of that. And what do you know? He's doing pretty well.
I think I've gotten this feedback a lot when I don't think I'm the main character, that I present as main character energy in a room. And I don't know how to stop that. I don't know how to stop sucking the energy out of a room that's like, you know what I mean?
No.
I don't know. I don't know how to do that.
You just have to be authentic and be yourself.
No, I am. And then people, they think I'm the main, I'm not the main character. It's someone else's birthday. It's someone else's day. And it's like, why am I sucking the energy out of, why is it that I'm the magnet in the room when it's someone else's thing? And I'm trying to be a background character. And then I was like, boom, all the eyes are on me. I'm like, I'm not the main character. I'm not even a supporting character. Please don't look over here. I know I'm not supposed to be looked at. And then it's like, you're fired. It's like, shit, I did not mean to bring the spotlight on me. I meant to put the spotlight on you. But sometimes it's like, maybe the topic isn't going in a way that, you know, there are subjects that aren't specific to you, mm-hmm. you know, but they are. It's just maybe that pattern recognition isn't there.
So what's like the main takeaway from this conversation you want the audience to have if they made it this far?
Leave the world behind.
Leave the world
behind. You still need to watch
the movie.
That.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You need to watch that movie.
I'll watch it. It has Ethan Hawke, right? I like him.
Yeah, he's good. And of course, Sandra Bullock or whatever her name is.
Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts. Not Sandra Bullock. What the fuck?
That's funny.
That's like Jennifer Garner, Sandra Bullock, you know.
It couldn't be any more different.
Julia Roberts, all the same person to me.
That's funny. That's funny.
Comes back and forth, you know, usually playing the mom in the movie. Well, now, because they're of age.
Sure. I'll watch that if you watch The Iron Claw.
I think I watched it. I'll watch it again.
You'll know if it just came out. You'll know if you watched it.
Yeah.
It's the wrestling movie.
Oh, no, I did not watch that. No. I was thinking something else.
Watch it.
I was thinking of a Superhero movie.
I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Really? Yeah, no, it's supposed to be a serious wrestling movie?
Yeah, it is. All wrestling movies are tragedies.
Right?
Yeah, and this one's no different.
I would say,
based on a true story, too.
I would say, in conclusion, wrapping this up, what do you think your biggest accomplishment was this year?
What was the biggest accomplishment for me this year? Thank you for asking. That's sad, right? Nothing really comes to mind. Well, there is something that comes to mind, but last November, so it's been a whole year, 13 months, I quit my full-time job. And without really any prospects, I was like, I'm going to make freelance life work. And here we are 13 months later, and I'm still here, and I still have my house, and I made my truck payment this month, and that's my accomplishment, you know? I know it's kind of like bare minimum, but I did that, you know? And here I am. I'm still standing, and I'm grateful for that, you know? I'm still here. I still get to play the game, you know? You have to keep putting quarters in, though, to play. And so there's some things that fell by the wayside. Like, I no longer pay for Story Blocks. I no longer pay for Riverside. I no longer pay for a bunch of other things. Soundstripe. That's like $500 right there, you know, that I don't have to pay for anymore. So, like, I had to pinch pennies and figure it out. But we're still here, and I have a lot of momentum going into January.
So what is it that you what do you want your biggest accomplishment to be next year?
God damn it, Knives. This is the real answer, is I want everybody to remember who the fuck I am, because I went dark for 9 months. You know, I want everyone to be like, fuck, Knives Monroe, he's doing it again. You know, that. I love that feeling. I want that. If I can say consistently January, February, March, April, all the way to when we do this again next year, I want to be able to say, did I do it? I want to ask you, did I do it? And I want you to be like, bro, fuck yeah, you did. That's what I want. That's what I know it was accomplished.
I've been thinking about the same things, but how do you plan to do it?
Showing up.
Okay.
Showing up, which has been very difficult for me, because it's so easier to not go to the party, to not go to the bar, to not go to that mansion in the dream. Like, it's so much easier to not do that. But, like, I showed up today, you know? Did that surprise you?
Well, there was a little bit of alterations to get there, but yeah.
Well,
on both our sides.
Sure, but, I mean, you know that, I mean? To me,
yeah.
I didn't wake up knowing I was going to be here.
No, not
at all.
So
this is very like...
Which is interesting because for the audience or anybody listening, I kind of took it, you know, something you said that I know you didn't mean by offense, but like...
What did I say?
It was like, thanks for giving me the heads up.
At the start of the show?
No.
When did I say that?
Before you got here. And I know you don't mean anything about it, by it.
Thanks for giving me the heads up. To what did I say that for? What
topics and
oh okay,
you know, and stuff like that. And I know you don't mean anything by it, but like generally that's like, oh man, I feel bad. I should have, like, if we had 2 to 3 days to play, you know, I'm just like,
I can see how it's taken that way.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, but I didn't think that because I know you specifically. It's like, but. You know,
no, I genuinely meant thanks for the fucking head.
No, yeah. But it's funny how, like, we get in a certain way of saying things that even I don't recognize it, but I'll say things a certain way that's like mimified in a certain way that people get the impression that I'm trying to be a jackass.
I get that all the time.
And it's like, that's not what I meant. I just meant, like, you know, this or that. And,
I joke that way too.
This is one of those things, it's like I thought about inviting you and then it just kind of, it came organically that way, you know, but of course, like, you know, in the future, or going into the next year, I got to be a little bit more, planned about what I'm going to do. And I've been thinking about that a lot lately. It's like, I got to map out 2024 to actually accomplish those things.
Map it out.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
And
yes.
I'm working on that too myself. I haven't done it yet.
I want to write all the videos that I want to make this year. I want to write them down. That way I know what I'm doing.
I did it.
Because when I just wing it, fail.
Well, I failed both ways before. But I mean, like when I was doing that, when it was like, every Friday I was publishing a podcast for this, you know, the Esports Business Network. At least it was consistent. At least something was happening.
Showing up. That's how I define success for 2024.
Oh, shit.
You good?
I just forgot something and I need to take care of it.
Are we in trouble?
No.
Okay, let's wrap up.
It was a credit card that I didn't pay. You have to actually pay it.
Oh.
And I just recognized that I didn't auto set it up.
Like an idiot. Happens. Yeah.
Which is actually kind of good because when they call me and then they say that, they're like, hey, we'll give you a discount if you pay it today. And then they're calling me twice. Okay. Anyway, promotional good. Things, any, you know, anything?
YouTube, Indie Darlings. Subscribe to that if you made it this far. And I just released a 3.5-hour podcast with my cousin, who's also a musician. And I don't expect anybody to listen to that, but like, more YouTube videos coming out in 2024. That's what I got.
Awesome. Thank you, Knives, for coming back onto the show and helping me get out of this little bit of a rut. We'll publish this. It'll come out, you know, hopefully before the new year. Yeah. Publish it this year. But as you can see, I'm not, as I just mentioned, I've been not doing the things I need to do. But anyway, I'll catch you guys on the next podcast. See you later. Signing out. Trent Knox. Later.